I think we should go ahead and get started. And we can start with a roll call. Bill Whitekemper.
Here.
Katrina Bowles.
Here.
Jen Hedrick.
Here.
Greg Coffin.
Here.
Coffin. John Conway.
Here.
Cody Darr.
Here.
Kim Krause.
Here.
And I'm Tracy Reber Rice. So, we had an issue today in terms of some questions about when the agenda was posted and when the meeting announcement was posted. So, in order to be clear that we are on the right side of the Sunshine Rules, we are going to meet tonight in informal session. Our meeting will be recorded. We'll go through the exact same process we would have. We will have minutes from the meeting that will be approved in the future. We will not be making any taking any votes tonight, and we will review last meeting's minutes and approve them also at the next meeting. Are there any questions? Okay. And I want to take responsibility. I haven't done this enough yet to have a good sense of when I should make sure I've seen certain pieces and things, and I won't let it happen again. But if you have any questions about it, please bring them to me. So, okay. So we're not going to approve minutes, and the old business is to finish up our discussion from last week on the streets narrative discussion. And then anyone who wants to bring up new business can bring up new business. We'll have an opportunity for general comments from task force members, the public, and the staff. And last time they asked us to have people also introduce themselves that are here, so real quick I should go around and do that.
I'm Ivy Bowman. Okay. I'm president of West Ash Neighborhood Association and on the Board of Health.
On the Board of what?
Health.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Kate Campbell Tribune.
Thank you.
Dave Nichols, the Public Works Department.
Great.
Chad Johnson, Director of Utilities. Michael McMahon, PNC.
Okay, thank you.
Let's see, Tracy, is it, I did notice in the minutes that the gentleman that spoke at the end of the meeting,
mm-hmm.
Okay, I took him to be Sid Sullivan.
Me too.
And we have him as Sid Sullivan.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Thank you.
Also, the members present was missing one member.
Yeah, right, yes. Yes, I was actually here last week.
Also, I guess you approved the agenda too.
We can't approve tonight's agenda.
No, so I guess you should be listed there too.
Yeah, yes, that's right. Anything else from the minutes from last time? Well, it's still relatively fresh. All right. Let's then. One of the things that we talked about last week was the letter to the Missouri Highway and Transportation Department Commission in regard to the Small Urban Surface Transportation Program, Small Cities Program. And they drafted a letter for us, and I went ahead and put a draft stamp on it and made a couple suggestions for changes that are tracked on here, and I thought we could start by discussing that. So this letter was drafted for us and will come from the task force, apparently. And it's also true that the department will be sending...
Yes, and the city manager sent one as well.
Okay, great.
I tried to get them a little different perspective, so please make all the necessary...
Did you drafted this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. I apologize for not... Here's what I'll look at.
Oh, but yeah, please see anything, because I just didn't want it to sound the same as everybody else.
Yes, there are two over there. Just can you
read it?
Okay, so it might be helpful. Do you mind? I know we can all read, but do you mind if I read so that the audience can? Okay, so dear Mr. Voss, this letter is intended to respond to the Missouri Highway and Transportation Commission's vote to eliminate the Small Urban Surface Transportation Program, Small Cities Program, which the City of Columbia receives on an annual basis. For reasons discussed below, the Mayor's Task Force on Infrastructure is opposed to the elimination of this local program. The City has relied on the use of STP funds for many years to supplement funding for street construction and maintenance activities. This program provides approximately $350,000 per year for the City and is supplemented with City transportation funds and has allowed the City to complete needed road improvements on both city and portions of MoDOT-maintained roads throughout the years. All municipalities struggle to maintain their infrastructure. The elimination of this program will have a lasting impact as the city continues to plan years in advance on their pavement management program, and removing this funding will change the frequency on their pavement improvement program. The lack of proper funding for infrastructure can cause roads to deteriorate sooner than desired. And then I wanted to talk a little bit about this next sentence. Getting behind on this pavement management program takes years to elevate pavement conditions to the level citizens expect, which sometimes causes a lack of understanding from taxpayers. Also, last August, the City of Columbia passed a quarter-cent sales tax renewal for the years 2016 through 2025. In determining the 10-year capital improvements projects to be funded in part by the renewal, additional funding sources were identified for the remainder of projects. The STPSU funding was one of the additional sources identified to be used to fund these projects at a total of $3,500,000 for the 10 years. The City of Columbia made its commitment on its previous ballot in 2005, and by doing so, it received a relatively high passage rate of nearly 71% for our current 2015 ballot. Without the STPSU funding, it will be very difficult to meet our project commitments, and then the underline are suggested additions that I made, and complex to explain to voters and residents. If we had understood the possible sunsetting of the program, we would have presented the sales tax renewal with that information in mind and determined our projects accordingly. In conclusion, having the STPSU as a constant source of funding throughout the years has enabled the city to better plan, design, maintain, and construct various infrastructure improvement projects. With this source of funding eliminated and having to compete statewide for the funding, it will make it much more difficult to meet our obligations to the Columbia citizens. So I really like the sort of high points of making it clear how much money has been received, what it's been used for, how it's used to leverage local and other funding sources, and how taking it out of the mix without much notice really changes the narrative or the communication between the city and the community. But the one part I did have a question about, because it's mentioned in this last paragraph, is the competing statewide for funding.
Yeah, what they're wanting to do is, I think they're going to throw money back into a pool, and then you have to solicit projects to them, and then they'll either grant you a project or not, and so it wouldn't be our money. We'd have to compete with other communities to get that.
So, right.
How is the allocation done now? Is it based on community population?
Population. They're going to let Kansas City, St. Louis, and Springfield keep theirs because they're over 200,000. And then everybody else in the whole state has to compete for projects.
And that's how we came up with the 350,000.
Due to our population.
Right.
Yeah, we're an NPO, you know, Metropolitan Planning Organization, because we're over 50,000. And so.
So St. Louis City? Or St. Louis
it's
Metro?
They have a, what's it called? Gateway?
Oh, East-West Gateway?
Yes, that's their NPO. So they get money, and then they all compete. All the cities in that NPO compete.
With each other.
With each other for their pool, and same with Kansas City. So. But, you know, the whole STP program, $8 million. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to lose a lot of support from a lot of small communities if they just pull that money. Because there are a lot of small communities. That's a big part of their program.
Are we sure that CATSO is, so this would be the Columbia Area Transportation, CATSO would be our equivalent to compete, mm-hmm. right? Are we sure we're under 200,000? I mean, Missouri, the estimates just moved Missouri up into the fourth, or I'm not Missouri, Columbia into the fourth largest city.
Yeah, I think we're at 120. Mm-hmm. It's 200,000 is the threshold.
Should we add that 9%, the new census report in here somewhere about the 9% growth rate or whatever we have?
The Fed number was 119, 108.
But that's Columbia.
That's the city they're on.
Not CATSO.
The CATSO, you guys extend.
No, it's the city. I'm sorry, did I say? Well, it's.
I don't know what your area metric is.
Yeah. It's the city population. Has to be under 200 is where they've set the threshold.
Why are they doing this? What's their justification?
Does Boone County get any?
Okay. Ask them to explain.
And they're doing away with the BRM program, too. They say there's another mechanism through this FAST Act, but we haven't been told anything about that. So. Last time I gave you fact sheets, Cody, did you keep that? That
yeah.
Has a little more information. Yeah, right there.
Well, I think
that's the breakdown right there. That
I like Kim's idea of adding a sentence that says, you know, Columbia has been consistently one of the fastest growing communities in the state. Our population has moved, has grown consistently for years at this level, will reach the 200,000 mark, you know, before anybody else will in Missouri that's not already there.
Yeah, we can't consider transient population in this because, you know, between all the universities and colleges in town, there's more people that use our roads than the norm with any other municipal.
Well, the trip story said they counted student population in their figures.
Did they?
Which shocked me, but yeah, they count the transient student population.
They do. The decennial census count is based on your April 1 address. So if you're
physical, like where you're actually living,
right.
Not your home,
right?
Mailing home.
I've got a problem with one sentence.
Okay.
The lack of proper funding for infrastructure can cause roads deterioration and despair. Then the lack of proper maintenance cause roads deteriorate.
Oh yeah.
Which is
for infrastructure maintenance.
Under you need to find
infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, where are you, Bill?
The second paragraph down to bottom.
Funding for infrastructure mm-hmm. maintenance can cause roads to deteriorate.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the deal with this last sentence that you've got struck?
I think that what you're saying is that when we get behind, people don't understand why it is
that's
that we're behind.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe maybe we could just rephrase that in a way that...
It's kind of worded strange the way it's written now. I think it could be rewritten.
Right, I think the idea is...
The immediate impact people have when you see lack of funding is the fact that we have more potholes and the roads are, you know, physically not getting resurfaced.
Kind of creates a bad image when you've essentially sold the people, if you pass this funding, then this will go away. It's almost like we're taking back our word.
How much notice did cities get about this change?
What was that letter? Does that have a date on
this?
Yeah.
4/6.
4/6, and it's a fiscal year program?
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll get this year, but we won't get next year. Let's see, the email came out, okay, May 11th. The comment period was May 11th to June 10th, so I got it like May 10th is when I got it.
Okay.
What's today?
So, do we want to make two suggestions? One, that they don't change the program would be the preference. But also, if they must change the program, that Columbia, as, I mean, you know, there are cities over 200,000, and then there's sort of us, and then everybody else is really much smaller. Mm-hmm. Should we suggest that we really belong in that larger tier of cities?
Or make the threshold 100,000?
Make the threshold 100,000, yeah.
To probably bring in with Independence and Springfield.
And you said...
Well, that's part of the East-West Gateway.
Yeah, they're part of that. They're within that metro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we could recommend that they lower it to 200,000 or 100,000.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Seems like a reasonable...
Or some sort of bridge, for crying out loud, to give people time to plan, for God's sakes. I mean, $350,000 a year, is that what we're talking about? Yeah. And they just turn the tap off with no notice?
Well, the concern that I have is, I mean, Columbia is suited to be able to put together resources to compete for grants, you know, the resource, but you take some of these small communities and then they have the resources to...
It's an 80-20 match. Most cities can't get 20% to match what they get, and so what they end up doing is just setting on the money and it's not being spent, where we can match and spend. And so we're different than all the other communities on that list. We have the ability to match. So the feds just don't like seeing money
piling up
because they want it to be spent. So I'm thinking there's a little pressure there.
Well, that's if the issue is about being able to make the match, why put a population threshold on it at all? Right. And just you can
make your match, something like that. We're meeting our spend downs.
Huh. But that's probably true for any community over 100,000.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, well, even 50-50 probably.
Do that. Right. I mean, you know, there's other cities that can match, but there's a lot of small ones that can't.
Okay. Do you talk about the match and the other letters that are coming from the city?
Okay. I try to kind of spin this as an infrastructure, you know, impact. Mm-hmm. The other ones you were worried about, the CIP voter not meeting our obligation. So, and like I said, this is due before June 10th.
Right. Okay, any other comments on the letter?
Just
particularly in regard to the third paragraph that we haven't talked about very much.
Is it going to be difficult to meet our project commitments or impossible to meet our project commitments over the $3.5 million?
Difficult. I mean, if the economy starts taking off again and we're higher than the projected growth that was in that transportation, you know, the capital ballot, then that could offset this money. But if it goes the other way, it will be very difficult.
So. But it's true that to meet the 10-year plan, that $3.5 million will have to be replaced from somewhere.
Somewhere else. We did have some annual monies that weren't earmarked specific that gave us the flexibility to match monies and do things like that. So, you know, the projects that we listed, I think we'll have a chance to get those done. And then we have these uncommitted funds just for annuals. So all those would go away. You know, opportunities to cost share and things like that. We wouldn't have the fund to do that. So specific earmarked projects have a better chance of getting done. So, but like I said, it just all depends on how the sales tax comes in. And right now we're flat. We're not having the growth that was projected anymore. So difficult was a word I chose.
Okay. Okay, so this needs to be submitted prior to our next meeting. So we need to talk for a minute about how to make additional changes to it and come to consensus since we're signing it as a task force. So
I'm okay with doing it via email. This works for everybody else.
Okay. Can we do that with documents? Or are those meetings if we circulate email amongst ourselves?
I think you can
circulate
documents.
Okay.
I will have limited access to email. So if we have it like a timeline where I know that I need to make sure I can.
And if we have it available or something, so
we
physically got to sign.
Either that or you posted on that web sharing site that you have.
Yeah, the Google site.
The Google site, yeah. Put it on the Google site, then tell people, everybody need to know that it's available.
Okay.
I'm also curious about your answer to your question of whether or not we have to come and physically sign it. Because I will not be able to do that either.
Or we just got to sign, like, she's just going to type our names and sort of signature.
I think that's fine, don't you? I'm going to be not in town between tomorrow and 6:10. So, is that all right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You want me to look at revising it? What is it, a Word doc? Does somebody have it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or Carol?
I have it as a Word doc.
You want to send it to me?
Yep.
Type it out or make the current changes?
And if people have notes, do you mind taking people's notes tonight?
Sure.
Okay.
So what about public comment?
On the that's what I was asking about in terms of do we have to have public comment on a task force letter?
I could ask, but I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, I can get you an answer for that.
If you would, that would be great. Thank you. And I would reiterate that we are responding to an open public comment period.
Correct.
So anyone can comment
right.
on the outcomes of this program.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I'm guessing that everything that's submitted is also open records through the through the state's public comment process.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good.
So do we figure out how we're going to logistically get this sent out? Are we going to do an email?
Yes.
So email it and then post it on Google Docs? Or
If you don't mind taking the changes and I'll send you the document using track changes. And then let's put Carol on the copy that she's in the loop on everything. And then...
when do you think you'd have it ready? That people know when to look for the email.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But what is it, like Monday or Tuesday? Monday, Tuesday. Right. Yeah.
June 1st is Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
We're going out until the 10th. So
Monday's a holiday. So.
Okay. I'll try to do it the next couple of days.
Great. Thank you very much, Kim. All right. Street recommendations.
Should we call it street and transportation recommendations? Or should we call it transportation recommendations?
There's more of these streets in there.
Isn't really just streets and sidewalks that was under our purview?
Yeah, we wouldn't want to infer that we're looking at bus or... airports.
Yeah, I mean, it's in the third sentence right there. Maybe it just needs to be changed to street and sidewalk recommendations.
Should we also exclude trails?
Are trails part of it? Or are trails part of the Parks and Rec?
Trails are part of Parks and Rec, right?
I think so.
I mean, it's part of the transportation system. Where it says,
but not as a funding source. Trails aren't part of transportation, streets,
sidewalks.
Dedicated
to have parks has their own dedicated funding.
Include related city services such as the transit system, the airport, and trails.
I'm not sure what you're looking at, though.
Halfway down the first paragraph.
Adding trails?
Adding trails to that, so okay. They're excluded.
Oh, I see. Yeah, sure.
Except that trails would never have been in the...
Right.
Aren't really considered transportation infrastructure from a funding mechanism.
We forget about funds, do we?
Yeah, but it's a finite number that's ready to wrap up.
I'm sorry?
So get about money, the non-motorized grant,
right, okay.
It's a finite number that's going to run out. Once it's spent, it's gone.
Right. Though, I, you know, in some ways I do think Bill makes an important point. I mean, trails are, for many people, a transportation resource as much as they are recreational, regardless of where they sit administratively within the city.
Just emphasize that they weren't overlooked.
Right, and all we're talking about doing is acknowledging it in the introductory or setup paragraph for what it is that we look at. So maybe just a sentence that says, also excluded is trails because they're administratively and functionally in a different place in the city, but we acknowledge their role and importance in, as a transportation resource.
Or it could just be added to the sentence that says, it's limited to streets and sidewalks, and it specifically excludes related city services such as transit system, the airport, trails, and public safety items.
The transit system.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. As far as John's suggestion goes, our charter says a study and evaluation of the major street plan and transportation infrastructure.
Yes. Well, then help me understand from prior work how we got to this sentence that focuses on streets and sidewalks.
Which sentence then are you referring to?
This introductory paragraph where streets and sidewalks represent, and specifically excludes related city services. I mean, there must have been an earlier initiating discussion about the charter versus.
What is the charter?
I'm not sure.
What is the charter? The wording on that sentence.
Its purposes include a study and evaluation of the operation and maintenance of existing stormwater and sewer systems, a study and evaluation of the operation and maintenance of existing electric systems downtown, a study and evaluation of the major street plan and transportation infrastructure, a review of past, current, and future project priorities and funding mechanisms for such infrastructure.
Are you wanting to know why we didn't include transit and airport and public safety?
And trails, apparently.
Because those are services, not infrastructure.
Good point. Trail, though, could be considered infrastructure if it's used for transport, but it's not, they're not, the so full intention is not for.
Right. So could a runway.
For roadway.
Right.
But generally, the city looks at those as services, not as infrastructure.
Right. So that's kind of why I was making the suggestion that we acknowledge the trail system in a bigger way, but say here's what we focused on.
Yeah.
Right.
Makes sense.
The question to me becomes, do we need to? Do we need to put anything in there about trails?
The short answer is, I don't know. I mean, I think that there's been a change in the mayor and administration since that charter was given, and it's a little ambiguous, and rather than us trying to cipher it out in one context or another, maybe we should just ask.
Seek clarity on really the issue is trails. Does this include trails or not?
Right.
I agree with Cody that the buses at the airport are services.
Are services, yeah.
As well as police protection, fire protection.
And these things are never going to be clean, right?
Right.
It's interesting if you look at the 2011 infrastructure report. They were like supposed to look at all city infrastructure, and then they like just struck out about half of the different infrastructure because of various reasons and didn't look at them.
I think just requesting a Florida clarification would be
anyway,
appropriate.
Yeah, no, that's neither here nor
there. Really
I'm not
well
using
that
as justification. I'm just
going to come back. We're going to come back to this because we're still going to do this as a standing draft.
Right.
And until we get completed and we're finalizing our report. Mm-hmm.
So, are you comfortable with me directing that question? So where did we stop?
We left off on number 4 recommendation.
All right. That's right.
I'm doing your bikes. Bike registration fee. Again, we just talked about where you should be in trails or not in trails, and this whole recommendation was to collect a fee, if I'm not mistaken, to help cover the maintenance of the trails when they get about money.
Not the trails, just the streets.
The streets.
Bike,
street
bike lanes.
The street
lanes. We didn't differentiate between trails and street sidebound bike paths and paint striping and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but the fact of the matter is the striping wears down. Now the street has to, now they have to pick up all that striping again, keep all of that maintained. Doesn't touch the trail per se, just the streets.
I think, I don't know, maybe I'm misremembering, but I feel like we're leaning to not doing that just because we kind of want to encourage bike traffic. Or
we had that suggestion, but I don't know we closed it.
No, we didn't close it, but I felt like...
So it was kind of a twofold thing.
Yeah.
First of all, it was how would this be implemented, and...
Second of all, would you want it?
Yeah.
The amount of money it would generate, I don't think it would be worth the heartache. The possible ridicule.
Possible.
That's
a likely
guaranteed ridicule.
Guaranteed. Yeah.
From all directions.
Well, and from what I recall of our last meeting where we were discussing that recommendation from the 2011, we decided not to make a comment about it. So if that was our decision, then why would we put it in our recommendations at all?
It was just never taken, stricken out from our last discussion. We just stopped right there. So, I mean, I'm still editing. I can strike through it right now, leave it in edit if we need to bring it back.
Yeah, put a strike through it, that would be great. I am curious if you guys have ever done any analysis of how much additional materials and labor bike striping on roads actually generates?
We could, we can. I don't know if we have it broken out differently.
Would you guess that it's quite minimal compared to your overall striping?
The sums are really expensive ones. The striping is just a pain. I mean, the truck goes down and sprays, but the symbols you have to, they're pretty
Did you, and you guys used Getabout to, you guys did some pretty, I feel like there's a few projects that were almost dedicated to increasing the usability for bikes and pedestrians at intersections, maybe like
Stadium and Forum.
Stadium
yeah,
Forum.
That one's one
yeah,
I always think of.
A lot. You
got a pilot there. With that
but most of the
yeah,
time,
yeah, the green.
Most of the time, the funding is it does it come from the maintenance?
No. I mean, since get about 05, we've just been doing the maintenance out of our street budget right now. Get about it was for the first installation. They don't.
Yeah, the capital part of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe the recommendation is to. Not require, but encourage that the roads budget pick up the striping as the get about money phases out. But that's done.
Well, I think they already are doing
are.
The maintenance.
Right.
We just probably will eliminate dedicated projects to increase bike and pedestrian.
Do you work
usability
in
at different
those,
intersections? Maybe
those kind of encouraging for bike and pedestrian when you do new developments. Like when you work with a developer to figure out how much street and road improvement is needed, do you take that into account?
Yeah, you're all standard street sections to have bike lanes and pedestrian requirements. And, yeah. So, yeah, like brand new projects is one thing, but it's going back and retrofitting for just the bike purposes. That Getabout was able to help us fund for some of that, that we might not have that funding anymore.
We won't. It's
Done. There's
three projects left,
and then all of those will be done. It'll just have to come out of the CIP or not get done.
Well, or should it be?
You don't have any choice now that it's in, do you? I mean,
should we? Should
you're going to have to maintain those.
The maintenance will still be there. Yeah.
Should the recommendation be made to transfer that paths and trails to Parks and Rec?
Well, they're taking over the trails after we get about built them.
I know, but
the on street, the street.
But if there is to be future paths and trails, that it would be up to Parks and Rec to fund them. And
well, all future is going to be them because this grant is once it's gone, Public Works won't be building any more trails.
Could you shift the expense of maintaining existing bike stripes and signage to Parks and Rec for maintenance?
It's in the street right away.
I'll second.
And you have the equipment, and your people are already out.
Well, you can do it.
No, we maintain the street. What we put in there, we maintain.
But it is, it is sort of the charge of the task force to consider from a policy perspective whether once Getabout dollars are gone, if it's a worthwhile investment to include.
Can you continue to pay for all of the upkeep of things?
Well, not just maintenance, but as policy, do we want to encourage building that kind of infrastructure into new projects?
Like if you had to let something go to cut costs, would that be one of the things we would let go? Perspective, or
I think
if we're going to build a new road, why wouldn't we build
all new
to the
roads
standards
do.
Of Getabout?
The standards are Getabout was kind of go around the city and retrofit projects. Like they looked at like putting pedestrian bridge across Forum at where Wilson's is on Forum and just all different places. So essentially, it was just looking for places to retrofit that were already existing infrastructure. So already all new infrastructure has to meet these standards for pedestrian and bike traffic. So essentially, if we were going to make a recommendation, it would be we encourage the CIP to look for retrofitting intersections for bike and pedestrian, like the funds, and like we did when there was that Getabout money that had to be spent on that. So, and they probably do look for those, the CIP, but it's just not one of their priorities because the Getabout money was there and they had to spend that and they had people working to find places to retrofit for that specific purpose.
Mm-hmm. So should we recommend
it? I mean, I don't really see a need to recommend it. I mean, I think they're doing... it's part of intersections that need work as they come up. They put those on the list, and then when they do fix them, they are in increased capacity. They are putting the bike and pedestrian in there to the new standards.
Did Getabout come up with data to show a demonstrated increase in bike ridership with all the investment that happened? They do have that statistic. So.
Yeah, they wanted it in 5 years, but they weren't realistic in spending federal money in 5 years. You can't hardly get it. Infrastructure on the ground and forward.
Right, I just wonder if we wanted to recommend that investment, are you getting a return? In other words, are people actually commuting to work and bicycles?
They had a mode shift.
Mm-hmm. And there's a reduction in public safety incidents, with that some of that too, isn't there? With the dedicated lanes and signage and all of that, less.
More people safer out,
which saves money.
I'm just thinking that there are some very you know, still some heavily used or public institutions in the city in locations where there's never been much support for non-vehicular transportation. Like Business Loop is a really horrible place to ride a bicycle. Almost all of it, and there are lots of kids in Hickman and up and down.
Under recommendation three, we talk about the prioritizing CIP. We could just add the category, which should be alternate forms of transportation, such as biking.
There you go.
Is that so reasonable? Mm-hmm. Put it in there.
So add it as M, maybe? 3M?
Something like that. L.
L, I'm sorry. Ooh, I forgot about L.
The computer didn't. The computer told me it was L. So something of include.
Dave, were you at the discussion last week on the trail where the citizens were complaining about the destruction of trees along Flood Branch with the sewer construction?
Was I at that meeting?
Yes.
No, I wasn't.
I was.
Could we discuss that a little bit about who should pay for reforesting the trees we cut down, whether it be Parks and Rec or sewer utility? The task force had an opinion.
Sure. I mean, the issue is that they're about to do the flat branch, right? Sewer line.
Release.
Down the MKT between Providence and Stadium, not quite all the way to Stadium, to the Lakeshore Drive entrance. And they've had to remove quite a bit of tree coverage to make room to dig the sewer and to get equipment in and out. The conversation was about what the remediation of that work was going to look like. So Parks and Rec was there, and the sewer folks were there, and Parks and Rec are taking the role of planning for that, but there's the budget for it, which is apparently limited, comes out of the sewer budget, right?
Correct.
To do that remediation. So,
and there's not much money available.
So some of the things we talked about were grasses versus tree planting, how to manage the resources that are available in order to do the planning at the right time and sort of in the right way. There was a conversation about how people could volunteer and donate time and possibly trees to make that a successful restoration. There were probably 20 of us there, and Ian called the meeting, since it's a Fourth Ward project, and noted that everyone he'd invited showed up. So there's definitely interest.
So the sewer folks were saying that they don't have money allocated for that?
They have some. They just made the point that it was limited.
They oppose planting trees on the sewer easement, but the Parks and Rec would like to have trees planted on the trail portion. It's not on the sewer easement.
Yeah, everyone's from the city seem to agree that planting trees that will have roots directly over a sewer line wasn't a great idea, but everybody was pretty open to planting around them. So,
does the city clear easements on sewers? I mean, you keep the trees knocked down? I mean, you just let it go native, right? So whether you plant trees or not, trees are going to come back.
Especially
this
layers.
Is Missouri. The cottonwood blows, and next thing you know, you're going to have cottonwood trees everywhere. So,
right, and that was sort of part of the conversation, is what...
It's going to go back to native, whatever, when it's done.
Honeysuckle.
Yeah, honeysuckle. Yeah. Cottonwood.
So how far off of the trail is the sewer line?
It crosses the trail four different places, I believe.
Yeah, three or four.
It varies.
I'm sorry?
It varies.
Yes.
The sewer easement is generally 16 foot, 8 foot each side of the sewer. But sometimes it's on a trail and sometimes it's adjacent to the trail.
And the Parks and Rec isn't going to replace trees that were on the trail, in the trail easement that had to be taken out?
They don't have any money to do that, apparently.
My understanding is Parks and Rec is going to replant the vegetation on the side of the trail with trees, but the part that's not basically part of the trail will just be kind of go on. There's people that will volunteer, and the natural grasses or whatever is going to come back. Okay. But certainly the trail, Parks and Rec is going to take care of that so that it is restored from the trail perspective, is my understanding.
Makes sense.
What's the contractor's obligation to restore the easement area?
That I don't know. I haven't seen the contract to tell you what's in there.
They didn't have it completed at the meeting we had last week, is what they said.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of the bid that already, though.
It's been bid. I just don't know that the contractor had already checked.
Or what's in the contract?
Yeah.
It should have been defined in the bid specifications at the time.
Should have.
But it seems usually those are just a grade restoration type cost.
Mm-hmm.
See.
Right, but that's something that might make a useful recommendation is when a major infrastructure upgrade like that happens in the same space as a natural or recreational asset, and that is an intensely used one. That we think about what the restoration is going to look like and the quality of it and who's going to pay for it. Because that is a very heavily used section of trail. I mean, it's definitely a public good and an asset.
Yeah, I don't think that not getting it somewhat back to the way it was or, you know is the answer. I don't think that's...
All right, we defer that conversation until we get into the sewers because that's really the utility that's causing this issue. I mean, we're at roads, and
right.
Roads is not, I mean, roads are going to require restoration along the side sections and everything anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of their standards already for construction.
That's a good point.
We'll be starting sewer the next meeting, right?
We're going to be down. We're going to be in the sewer soon.
Right.
We can look and see at what the restoration criteria is, if any.
So just to clarify back to this road issue, the non-motorized transportation is considered in new and
yeah, whatever road is
renovation.
In the criteria selection, which should be part of the prioritizing of the CIP, the use of, this is what I wrote, use of bike commuting and other forms of sustainable transportation. As part of their evaluation criteria.
Okay.
You know, bike is the most obvious, but, you know, who's to say we've got other sustainable forms that can go on trails and along the roads with those hoverboard things. For young people.
All right, 5.
Doesn't this tie real closely with 3 and 1 for scoring, evaluating projects?
Well, 3 is the CIP, and five is directed towards new development.
New development, okay.
Like brand new, your concept of community stuff.
Yeah.
Or private
development.
Okay. I think we used to start that with, say, four new development. But you could have, yeah. It's recommended the city follow. I mean, do we need to start the sense of that? Or is it implied?
I think we get to start it.
How do you balance that, though, with number one so that they don't, so that you're saying, well, new development proposals have to have a higher, more stringent review process than annexation?
No, this would be part of, this would be an additional recommendation. Additional, yeah, I don't think it's in conflict. Well, what exactly is your concern?
That we add a layer on new development, that properties that are requesting annexation don't have to go through, when that example we used the other night that was so crappy, what was that one called?
No, they would. This would, annexation would be considered new development. I mean, if they were proposing something other than just annexing.
You're right. Okay. You're right. Should we put those together somehow then?
Sure. I mean,
try to combine one and five.
We could.
I mean, I think there's separate items that need to be separated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if they need to be right next to each other, but I mean, we could go back and reformat some of the priorities. In other words, we've got a list of recommendations and supporting potential recommendations. So we may want to go back and reprioritize them to put the most important ones first. Not that they.
Yeah, there is no order or anything.
Well, maybe let's talk, have like a side talk about, would it make the most sense to sort of work through that reordering now as we're thinking about content, or does it make more sense to...
My thought is this way, because we're going to get into some of these where the recommendations are more global across multiple utilities. And right. So we don't want to duplicate, so we may want to pull things out. And I think that's more for our final editing and our recommendations. And we want to, when we started out this process, we were looking at doing a narrative and a list of recommendations for each of the categories that we're looking at. You know, we're thinking that we'd just create a chapter for each one. But you know, we may try to merge it all at the end. We haven't really decided how we want to do that.
Right. Okay, so we're going to get good, clean statements around these issues, and then we'll think about the climate organization once we have a set of completed statements.
Like I said, the global ones we can pull up to the front.
Right.
Global recommendations that are specific in each category.
I agree. Okay, so back to five. Kim, would you mind just restating the issue between one and five again? Just, I want to make sure I understand it.
Number five, I was taking to mean areas that are already within the city limits.
Okay.
And number one, properties that aren't
specific
inside the city
limits. Annexation.
And
okay, one's more
it seems it. Like the ones that, the way this is worded, and the discussion we had the other night on that, what was that place called? It's going to make me crazy now.
That's
El
the
Chevron.
One we talked about.
The one that John said they were making cervical pecker, not pecker.
Oh, up on Range Line.
What was that?
Peppers.
That was out is outside the city and was going to be annexed. And so the way I read it is that we're adding a layer of review for properties already in the city that are going to be developed, requesting development, and then based again like this discussion we had the other time, that properties outside the city that are going to be developed.
I think if you just added to address that, you should say policy one, which is to develop a scorecard system for new development and annexation proposals. I mean, then you don't lose this evaluation for annexations, mm-hmm. if you were concerned about that. But the city's going to look at that as a development proposal.
Right.
I mean, it goes through the same, people same. I mean, process, you're still going to be using that. But I did want to mention about this. First of all, we had brought this up in another meeting, and somebody, I don't even remember who, but I don't know if it was Dave or John or somebody else, said they were going to talk to the city about how this recommendation was going, because the city has been looking at this, and I got a couple memos here. December 4th, 2014, Planning and Zoning Commission planning, or a work session, where this was December 4th, 2014, was shortly after the Columbia Imagine was adopted. And this is an infrastructure scorecard follow-up, and there's a discussion about it, and they haven't really got into it at this time, and they wanted to know a timeline, and not really much to it there. September 24th, 2015, they had another work session, and Planning Department made a little presentation, and I highlighted this. I haven't looked at this in months, but he noted that the idea of having a rating system for specific infrastructure elements was found to be more challenging than originally contemplated, and what was going to be discussed this evening was the first in a series of steps that could offer a meaningful approach to understanding infrastructure issues throughout the city, which could be used in development review and analysis process. Saying there had been some shifts in the focus on the scorecard. And then John Fleck with GIS department explained about the mapping services, a background to how the background for our support for implementation of Columbia Imagined. There's some other stuff in there. But anyway, the major part I wanted to just say is that as of last year, they hadn't made much progress, and they were saying that it was a lot more difficult than they had thought. And
I think John said that one of our meetings here recently.
Maybe, yeah.
John Glasscock, we were in the chambers today. We wouldn't have been at that moment.
And I know part of this, and I think it was mentioned in the first meeting, Boone County has a sufficiency of resources test that, you know, it's a scorecard, and it's like this development, and it's just very objective, like how many miles from a police station, how many miles from a fire station, what is the road improved, is it unimproved, is how close to public school is it, and there's just a list, and they have a ranking for each one, and it gets a number, and then, you know, it has to rank over 60 for it to be about, be considered sufficient, there to be sufficient services to support development in this area, you know. And that's kind of what they were doing. The city went through, and I think they wanted to be more thorough and have some look at it a little deeper than what the counties was, and this is why they were saying it was more.
And do they use that then in determining the amount of the extra amount of finance or funding the developer would have to bring if he still wanted to proceed?
They don't. There isn't a direct correlation between funding or anything at the county level. And the county really doesn't. Well, no, exactly how to word that, but no, there isn't anything. There isn't anything. I mean, if they won't even look at it if it doesn't meet the sufficiency of services. And then they'll look at it if it meets it. And then from there, it's a discussion, what needs to be improved, what needs to be blah, blah, blah. So if it doesn't meet, then, you know, the developer is going to have to build something to increase some of those levels that he can do, or he just has to wait until there is sufficient resources.
So do you happen to know if they developed their own scorecard, or if they've adopted an existing methodology?
It was based on somebody else's, but I can't remember whose it was. I don't think they came up with it out, you know, whole cloth and just came up with it. I think they based it on some other communities.
Would it be interesting to have them come talk to us about that? It seems like this is going to be an important issue.
I'll be honest,
at the general level.
Anywhere near the city limits of Columbia, like pretty much automatically passes the Boone County system. Pretty much anything near the city limits of Columbia is going to pass the Boone County's sufficiency of resources. It's not that strict. Mm-hmm. And not to say that you couldn't change the rating and make it, you know, you have to have more resources or services, a higher threshold than what they have. But the counties is anything near the city limits is pretty much automatically going to get past that threshold that they'll look at it at least.
Can we change this instead of follow through? Because that's basically a recommendation to proceed to something, still consider using.
Yeah.
And make a little softer recommendation than to basically says just do it.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And this was just kind of to start the conversation about. I really don't have a strong feeling about this. I mean, they assess it whether or not its objective might be your point of view, but they definitely have criteria they're looking at. You know, is there a fire station within so many feet or whatever? Is there a fire hydrant within so many feet? And if not, they have to do it. Like, each department looks at their services and, you know, they are doing an assessment and they are providing feedback and comments and suggestions or requirements that the development's going to require to meet their service standards. So this is going on, but there's not a checklist. You know, it's not a, this is what we're doing. You know, I can go to the community development department and get a checklist on what do I need to have to get to have sufficient services. It's just each department does their own, and you know,
and that's where
they're providing their own assessment.
And is it always the same within each department? I mean, is it consistently?
There's subdivision regulations. There's the water standards. Right. There's the electric standard. I mean, there's definitely objective criteria.
Right.
In a million different places. But there's not a, does this meet the fire hydrant requirement? Check yes or no. There's not a list like that out there. And that's originally what this was, you know, kind of piggybacking off of what the county was. But the counties is very generic, and like I said, pretty most places in Boone County meet the sufficiency of, especially anywhere near, you know, metropolitan areas, is going to meet their sufficiency of resources.
Is that the place where you would start trying to make less subjective and negotiated fees the developers say that are not standard enough or whatever?
Yeah, this kind of would give some background, I guess. This I saw more as a resource for developer and city staff and city council to just get a snapshot of kind of the way I saw it of, you know, what kind of resources do we have at this time right now?
Right. Well, there are people with a strong interest in development patterns in Columbia who talk a lot about sufficiency of resources tests and having a standardized, like you said, sort of snapshot of what is available in an area and what is needed in order to develop or redevelop. But I'm wondering who that's... I'm not making value judgments here. I'm wondering who that's really for. In some ways, it's the community who wants to understand sufficiency of resources needs when they think about how new development or redevelopment is going to impact, you know, their quality of life and access to resources and property values and those sorts of things. So is there some way to standardize and make more understandable the existing, you know, lists and requirements that are always undertaken as a project moves through? Is it a useful exercise to know if those lists are sufficient? Yeah, you know, is it information collection or is it packaging information that's collected? so that we can people can have a meaningful conversation about it. And what I sort of think about, and I think this happens in every organization. I could give plenty of examples from working for a big institution like the university, is I know several years ago now, a decade-ish, 15 years, it was very important to people to have the fiscal impact note added to any ordinance that came through Columbia or through City Council. And that was sort of a hot topic for a while, and people put a lot of effort and energy into it. And it was implemented, and very frequently it, you know, there's sort of a standard way of looking at it. Very frequently it's zero, and it's applied to everything, whether it even makes sense to consider a fiscal impact from it or not. So I don't think we want to come up with a recommendation for something that becomes just a pro forma exercise that doesn't give good additional information to people, right? But if we can think of ways to make recommendations that will let people have good shared public information and sort of be on the same page to understand what development's going to be like, then that's a win.
Yeah, I agree.
We see those on the ballots, propositions, or what is that? We see the fiscal impact statement on
council bills and council resolutions, mm-hmm. staff reporting.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and that was just an example, and I think that it's hard to do, but that's what this conversation is making me think about.
It's also made me think about, like, we had kind of asked around the idea of diversion of funds. So, like, if the city is helping, or if the city is essentially getting it's not really a discount, but if development is coming in and paying for part of the upgrades or whatever, and the city is getting essentially help paying for that, since there's only this pot of money, that money has to come out of a different project from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's probably unclear to the public why, you know, and I don't know if this happens as much with streets and sidewalks as it does in perhaps sewer and stormwater, that, you know, the public doesn't know why, like, for example, for us, our stormwater issue being on the CIP list for 30 plus years, well, it keeps getting moved back on that just because other projects come along that are, you know what I mean? So, like, the impact that isn't just directly related to that specific development, but how does that impact further out?
Well, we do talk about the openness and separation issue and follow the money and clarifying financial reports so people can see where money's going.
Where's that?
It was the 2011 recommendation, and then our recommendation is that it's valid to continue to improve. Page three, I guess.
Is it listed on, is it the, what is that, D?
It's A, sorry,
okay.
Did I
say that? Oh, okay, openness of
I mean, I certainly think that's valid, I don't know.
I'm not sure where it fits, it just, that's what it made me think of, was...
And when we talk about... when we, you know, publicizing and having a consistent objective grading system for the CIP, you know, help the public understand where the money's going and why.
Right, and I have another sort of procedural question about number 5.2. One, is planning and zoning working on something similar? And two, how does our addressing this fit into the current work being done of the analysis and recommendations of the zoning code? Seems like we don't want to end up in a situation where we're not aligning those things.
I would almost be willing just to take that recommendation on.
Well, I don't know.
Too late.
We could, again, highlight it or strike it, that we can come back to it in a more global, but...
I definitely think it's one that will end up being in a more global set, set of recommendations.
Maybe you just highlight it or strike it, strike through it, just so it's there, but it's not, doesn't go away if we accept all the changes.
I mean, I like it, and I think you're right, it applies to all of the services we're going to be talking about.
Your notes at the end here, Cody, still stand, that in parentheses in there.
I'm sorry,
a further refinement note?
Oh, further refinement of the recommendation form. Yeah, like I said, I wrote it because I remember somebody saying they would talk to planning about it, or maybe the planning department, somebody was here. I just can't remember what it was, but I felt like, or maybe it was one of us were going to follow up.
Has planning come in and talk to you guys?
Not formally.
We talked about doing that.
No, but I feel like some of the planning, was Tim Petty here one time, or somebody was here one time from planning, but Ed's entertaining.
We talked about having him come, but
to get it off, basically I highlighted, I put a note to it, we'll just say the MTF needs to re-review this at the end when we complete our...
It definitely is a global recommendation. I mean, it doesn't just have to do with streets. Because it's an infrastructure scorecard. It's for sewers, streets, stormwater, everything. So. Right. Also public safety and other stuff, too. But.
Roy Darko sent us a letter. He was the previous planning director.
Yeah. But the city is presumably working through coming up with something, or I don't know exactly what the new development code says about this.
Right. I'm sending Carol a note right now while I'm thinking about it to see if we can't figure out who we should listen to or talk to about that.
Pad Center would have the most up-to-date information about where this status is as far as in staff, you know, workload, whether they're working on it or it's on the back burner or they're waiting on further direction from somebody or it's in the development code the exact way they're going to do it and it's just waiting for it to be implemented or what. But.
Well, I was told that one of the goals for this group was to have a report that could inform those final recommendations.
Okay.
So we know what we're going to do with 5 for the moment. Okay, 6. It's development of the GIS system and fully integrate with all infrastructure, land use, data layers, and make available to the public. That's pretty hard to argue with, isn't it?
And that would apply to all of the... Well,
yeah, I think we talked about that the other one too. That might be a global one we pull out because essentially what we're asking is that all utilities, infrastructure, basically all infrastructure is laid out on the same GIS map, that they don't run their GIS databases independently, that it be fully integrated with different layers. And that, you know, that resource needs to be available to the public as security allows it. There's probably some issues with utilities on security, but that could be made public where security is not an issue.
Yeah, we did make a similar recommendation on the stormwater one, and it was to continue the development because they are working. I mean, you guys are developing your GIS system as we speak. Right. I know, and adding data and all kinds of stuff to it.
Yeah, I know from our utility, we've actually gone through a consolidation process of making sure all the GIS folks answer to a GIS person.
I mean, there's some communities that have everything. You know, GIS database, including trees. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this is, they put everything in there as a planning resource.
There's only 10 people in the whole town so far.
Well, Jeff Cities is a lot more robust.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, you can click.
Yeah, a lot of communities. Well,
you can
not
click,
a lot,
click, click,
but
so you can see which utilities you want to. So when we do projects in Jeff City.
We have it on the campus. We bring trees and everything into it.
So. The age of infrastructure is on there? No.
Yeah. It's more for planning purposes.
But you could put it on. You know, there's a lot of information you could layer over that kind of stuff. So is it based on the parcel maps, or you can see property lines and that kind of stuff? It, as layers with the other infrastructure pieces.
We've got hundreds of layers.
Click on, click off.
I'm not terribly familiar with what all's in there. But do not want. It's a global recommendation.
Right. Yep. And so does funding for GIS come out of everybody's individual budgets, or is there a city line for that?
Internal service.
Okay, anything else we want to say about six?
In the sewer one, and I think when we pulled the global, we talked about coordinating with Boone County and the university mm-hmm. with their GIS databases as well. I mean, not really have to merge them together, but at least that they're coordinated at the boundary lines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, the university has utilities underground, and we have them right next to city utilities in some cases, so those all need to be mapped out on the system. And so there's a value to making sure that your people that are doing that work are communicating and corresponding as they cross over paths.
And that would include also like Boone Electric. I mean, I know that's not the university, but other private utilities too.
Right. Now, some of the private utilities, such as Ameren, and I don't know about Boone Electric, but I know Ameren doesn't share much of anything for security reasons. They won't share where their gas lines are.
And sewer district.
Yeah. But yeah, wherever you can cross over and get that global information is helpful for planning.
I think we should put that, you know, state that really clearly. Mm-hmm. Okay. Recommend the city evaluate funding future major, in quotations, infrastructure projects which are integral to the city, such as the 7063 interchange, Route 740 extension, by utilizing a single issue ballot item, which would dedicate a 1/8 cent sales tax. That's a pretty specific recommendation.
And this is what we're talking to John about, whether it be an 8 cent sales tax or a property tax, or I guess either of those for these types of major infrastructure projects.
Where do we get funding like this, the bridge work on 70? Does MoDOT not kick in for some?
MoDOT.
Is it all
City
MoDOT?
Didn't pay for any of that.
What brings that to the fore where they pay for it, not the city?
Oh, this would be stuff just for us to match. This would just be so the city could chip in 10% for one of those major
things.
So
get MoDOT
right?
to help us with it?
Or, yeah, 20%.
So does
how mad you want it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that matching helps prioritize with MoDOT when things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think would allow enhancements to the projects to help serve city needs.
So you can put a pedestrian lane in or that kind of thing on a bridge.
Mm-hmm. We've done that with them before.
Mm-hmm. Or make the bridges more aesthetically attractive or something like
and
that.
And some of the places St. Louis have been doing that.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I do want to add on there just 8 cent sales tax or property tax. I don't know what the wording would be for what type of property tax.
Do we really want to specify 8 cent?
I'd say a dedicated sales tax or property
funding source.
A dedicated funding
So is it where if a city tells MoDOT, hey, we have $1 million, what, and we're wanting to do some major work X Y Z, what do you guys have? What can you chip in? like, can you just bring it up cold turkey and say, if we have $1 million to spend, how much will you guys give us?
Well,
you know what I mean?
You identify the need of the project you want, and then
so they can just randomly kick into projects.
You can say, what if we generated half the cost? Could you come up with the other half?
So
it helps their system and it helps our community, even though it's on their system.
So you can just randomly request chunks of money for projects?
Well, no, anything like this would all go to the voters.
The dedicated funding. But as far as MoDOT spending their money, yeah, you would take it to their Missouri Transportation District Commission. And as far as the need being identified, both of these in particular are identified on the CATSO plan, but they're noted as unfunded because they're such major expensive projects.
So if we had, if Columbia had raised a pot of money, then we'd be likely to get.
Maybe.
Okay.
I know they did it up in, was it by Macon? They had a road that 36 got wide into four lane. The community paid half and MoDOT paid half. So, you know, they generated a lot of money to get that. And that enhanced, that was an economic driver for them.
I see this more as roads, not as much as 1763, but as like Providence and Broadway and other streets that are maintained.
Well, you can earmark any of them. This is just what John said, a major road.
Those aren't, I mean, even though, well, it depends on how big your project, but these are on an order above those cost-wise, I would say.
Right. So I would think that
you can't do a CIP.
Voters would probably have a better appetite for Providence Road Enhancement or Broadway Enhancement because it's within the community versus, you know, cutting through.
So. College, right? Yeah, College is a state road.
But there's an example within the pedestrian walkways where there was contribution, mostly the state, but also had city and university funds that went to that. So there's shared projects. But that was a special one-time funding.
Mm-hmm. That was an enhancement grant.
Right.
So is this...
So like just a dedicated funding is a better way to...
This is just one way to get major projects funded is to consider this, and I think that's all that John was talking about. This has been done. If the community finds that this is such a bad thing, you know, the improvement is really, really needed, this is a way to maybe get that funded.
And it would be for like a finite time period?
Yeah, I mean, once it's paid for, you know, you bond it.
Okay.
And then this would be the revenue stream to pay back the bond, and then when the bond is paid off, and it goes away.
The sunshine tax?
Sunset
tax, yeah.
I think the word transportation should be added after major.
Yeah, we don't have to have major in quotation marks. I just was trying to, I mean, there's a lot of major CIP projects, but these are big enough that we can't put them on our CIP list because we don't have enough money.
Right.
Well, and another good example is someday Missouri will really get serious about an I-70 revision, and the more resources we can bring to bear on our part of I-70, the more control we'll have over what that looks like.
Get done quicker, probably. Funded.
I think major is still appropriate because...
Is Columbia going to have to...
You're not going to go out and request a special money for a minor project.
Not to say an ad.
Is Columbia going to have to kick in the funds to fix our part of I-70?
After major between infrastructure.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Transportation issue requirements.
Well, any time a city road would touch their road, then we may not get as much savings because...
Right.
Their priority would be to move traffic, and ours would be to maybe have a different priority for our citizens. So, you know, that's where the MoDOT and the city have a lot of negotiation about what gets done,
right,
and who's paying for it.
Right.
If we chip in, we got to say.
You guys got to pay for your own sidewalks.
We did on 750. Yeah, I know. Ranksline, they didn't pay for that.
They hate sidewalks.
The city chipped in. And we maintain all those.
MoDOT wants to make cars go fast. Yeah. That's their job. Yeah. Okay. So is 7 restructured the way we want it? Okay, great.
Hate to step back, but I got a comment on number six.
Is it clear enough when you say dedicated funding source that we mean a ballot issue, or?
As I said, you it's a single ballot item for a dedicated funding source.
Oh, okay, yeah, there you go.
I still like the ballot issue piece in there, but just got rid of the tax, 8 cents, or property taxes, just dedicated funding.
A time limited tax, what is that called?
Specified.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry, Bill, what did you say about six?
Number six. John, you mentioned that Ameren wouldn't participate in the GIS program because they thought their gas line's location was secret. You know, I think that's kind of a lame excuse.
Well,
if you call for locates, they'll come out and mark them.
Well, they'll mark them, but they're private utilities, so they don't, I mean, that's what I said, but they're a private utility, and they have the option to not disclose that.
They're in public driveway, though. They don't own their own right.
But they'll come out and do locate. They'll come and gas leaks and correct it.
And Cody, you don't have any problem showing gas lines on construction plans, do you? Just call and ask them where they're at, they'll tell you.
Yeah.
That's different than handing over a GIS layer, though.
I mean, we wouldn't make public layers in certain areas of the utilities for the campus as well because of security issues. And we can't legally because of some federal requirements for water systems. So,
well, they'll be available to the city on some format.
Understood.
Emergency management or something. Just to say a secret's kind of lame, in my opinion.
Well, I don't think it's they do it because they just keep it secret. I think it's because of security reasons, because they don't want people to sabotage or disrupt the utility service. So it's not just that they just want to keep it secret. That's why they do it.
Somebody's engineering, finding where gas at it, they could do it.
That would be an issue not for this group. That would be an issue for the Public Service Commission because they are a public utility.
I just want to comment.
I agree. It would be nice if they did. Instead of having to call them every time.
Wouldn't those, I can't think of the right word for it, but ultrasound things that they use to, like, for archaeology and such, mm-hmm. you could totally find out where those are. If you wanted to enough.
They'll give you maps, but they just, it's completely different.
Right. Here.
Asking for the whole GIS.
You're digging up holes in the ground, you figure out where most of them are. You know where most of them are.
That's right. Okay. Eight is council should pursue and voice support to state legislature to implement recovery of internet sales tax in Missouri.
I was thinking something like write a letter from the city council.
Right. So we could strengthen that a little bit.
Is that a global comment? Because we have some other sales tax revenue into some of the other infrastructure that we're dealing with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll just put a note that it's a global comment.
Can't believe there's not been a bigger push for that statewide.
It's been a topic for years. It's been an issue for years.
It hasn't come to a head.
Page every single day.
But it definitely has been in the news.
Yeah. It should be like the transgender issue in the news. Where you're just like, I don't know why we don't have it yet.
I think once the state realizes the amount of revenue they're losing on their own sales tax, that's what will be brought up. Not the municipals, it's the state's losing money on their taxes as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to have a state that cares about whether or not they're collecting money. A state legislature.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it.
As a native Kansan, I can all pick on Kansas. And then number nine is a pretty straightforward one. Mm-hmm. Extend the quarter cent capital improvements tax. When does it expire?
2025.
We say in 2025.
I think so.
Right,
might as well.
Done.
Just a comment. I don't want to sidetrack. I think we've made good progress tonight. But I, something I've always been curious about is there any impact on the ability of of the city to pass infrastructure taxes based on how many TDDs or special taxing districts there are? Is there anything to the idea of taxing fatigue around infrastructure, and do we need to have a process to look at how frequently those tools are used, or if they start to benefit new development over the existing community's infrastructure?
I don't know if I followed exactly. No, it's saying how high can the sales tax go?
Right.
Well,
for everybody's uncle.
As long as they keep voting.
Well, yeah, I think it's
as
obvious.
Long as voter approved, then, you know, it's the. But there's got to be a.
Yeah, there's definitely
a point of fatigue. Or,
but TDDs and such aren't voter approved, right?
Correct.
So is your question about TDD tax, though? Is that what the,
do we do any tracking to know how many there are? Do we take it into consideration when we think about sales tax initiatives?
It's built into
how
your
do we get
budget,
the TDDs,
right?
TDD.
You talking about the TDD tax?
Mm-hmm.
They all have to register with the state.
Right.
So there's a good tracking. I don't know who's tracking how much they collect and how much the TDD, because they're supposed to sunset as well. Once their infrastructure is paid for, but about the time they pay it off and they have another remodel or something else, that TDD is, but yeah, we considered that fatigue when we passed our ballot. We didn't ask for the eighth that was talked about as a recommendation, because we thought we had just passed the bond on the electric and then
stormwater
increase, and we were kind of getting to the voter fatigue stage, so we just said, let's just continue what we got. So we considered that instead of adding the quarter or the eighth.
And the other thing that I thought, as far as I know, that's unique to the city of Columbia is that there's not any general obligation bond debt.
Mm-hmm.
And you're authorized to go to 20% of your assessed valuation. And but
that does not have to have a defined income.
Okay.
Tax revenue or something.
You're giving full faith and credit to the city through an ad valorem
tax.
That. Yeah. And the tax stays, you file the tax with the assessor to pay the bonds, or determine the bonds. And, but, you know, then it's just, it's a tax. Mm-hmm. It's a property tax. And then using that, you're not subject to the fluctuation of the sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
And the economy. That's it.
Well, you're still fluctuating to the property values, but not to the greater degree sales tax would be, because it's more volatile.
Right. But the thing with the GO bonds is when you do the projections, if that's not enough, you increase the tax rate to collect the revenue to pay it. In order to the sales taxes, you don't tinker with the tax or the amount of the sales tax.
Is what it is.
But the issue is if the city was able to recoup the internet or the e-commerce taxes, likely there'd be more than adequate resources. But we saw for the CIP priority list, it's just if we can't get that, there needs to be some other funding for it.
Yeah, and there's a common thread in all the history of these prior task forces. There's been a recommendation of some minimal amount. And just like on number, seven, when there you're talking tens of millions of dollars, and so the GO bond might be an answer to that. But it is interesting, kind of unique to our community that we don't do that. And we've done it in the past. There was a time in the 70s and 80s that we did. We just have gotten away from it and been on that old sales tax train for.
Right. So it is 8:45, and we've got four items under further discussion. And Sid Sullivan's comment from last week that I would like us to consider thinking about adding or acknowledging in some way. So, but these are all really big picture questions. And I want to give them fair consideration. So should we power through at least the first couple? Is that all right? Okay. And the, number 10, I think, is pretty interesting. How and when do specific studies become authorized by the city, such as the Northeast Columbia Area Plan? And a more recent one, I would say, is the not just West Ash, but the sort of
West Central Columbia.
West Central Columbia, yeah. Pieces.
This one actually, it references the same study that Sid referenced, the Northeast Columbia Traffic Study by CBB.
So is the is this question, Cody, getting at should there be a process to trigger these kind of plans, or
if they are triggered,
should the certain things always be included?
Maybe, yeah, both of those. I guess I was just curious on some of these, how they got implemented, just because I was curious, and because things like the Northeast traffic study that CBMB did had big implications on development in that area, huge implications on the development of that area. And I don't know, but from my point of view, there wasn't a whole lot of public input in that study. I mean, it was commissioned by Boone County and MoDOT in the city, Boone County in particular, and it was just supported by the city. You guys weren't the ones who commissioned it or did.
I don't think we even paid for it, I don't know.
No, you didn't. But you guys' names were on it, like you guys reviewed it. You had your traffic engineers review it or something. I don't know what it was. But no, you're right. You guys didn't pay for it at all. It was just Boone County. But now everything that goes in the city just now is using that by, I don't know if it's just by lack of anything else out there, it just became the status quo somehow because there's nothing else out there. And I just don't know how much, I mean, ultimately it's up to the city council when annexations determine what kind of the developer contributions there needs to be. But, you know, they were used, I mean, this study was used and it was.
Well, the study the city executes would have to go to council for approval for funding, right? It's of a certain dollar value.
Yeah, typically that's exactly right.
But they were just using this as reference, like, so the city council's
it's the Bible.
Yeah. I mean, they weren't, it wasn't like they had to use it. They didn't have to use this. It's just, they were like, this is out there. This is saying you guys need to pay this much. How can we go against this study that's out there? You know, even if the developer's like, I don't think it's necessarily right, or I don't know, you know, whatever. But it's just a weird kind of thing of where was the transparency in that. And I know ultimately there was transparency because the process, and it went through city council and there's public hearings and everything. But this was out there before all that, and that's what got used as a criteria on what the development got, you know, evaluated against.
That kind of goes back to what we talked about April 26th. Was Tim Crockett was?
I was
talking about the.
Yeah, the same study.
Tim, it was. Anyway, we're talking about
Tim and Randy Coyle,
deciding on traffic engineers and who decides and.
Oh. That was Dave was talking about the city, which is a traffic engineer.
And, what if there's disagreement? Which is why we wanted Pat Zenner to come, I think, was after that, at that meeting, we decided we needed more.
Maybe.
Were these, when you were thinking about number 10, these were specifically out of, inside the city limits?
Northeast area encompasses parts of that are in the city and parts that are in the county.
So the issue is that the city has adopted the use of this study to help do their planning in that area. It didn't go through any public approval, didn't go through council.
It's kind of like if you look at a smaller scale, you know.
They had a development agreement with all the subsets, but
it was based on this traffic study that's out there. But, I mean, yeah, you're required to do a traffic study when you do a development, and it would say you need to do this, and that's essentially what this was, except for this is for this whole area. It's not for just your development. It was like, we looked at this whole area 30 years out, and you need to do 7,000 per lot and this huge thing. And, you know, our developer's like, wait, I'm not incurring all this. Like, I know they took me into account in 30 years, there's going to be this growth, but man, you're putting all this on me.
Yeah, because I'm the first in line.
Because I'm, partly they allocated across the whole area on what their projected land use was and stuff, but
that was a pretty controversial time, and many different things were happening. But I thought the city was involved, not in the traffic study, but in the Northeast Area Plan,
which are two separate documents,
right? Which are two separate documents, and it aligned or was immediately linear with the set of decisions made about high school location. I think you're right to bring up the issue: is what is it that triggers the investment in these kinds of studies, and what do we think it becomes sort of an inevitability if you invest in these kind of studies.
But another thing is that study, they made this developer pay it, but then they didn't make Columbia Public Schools pay it when they built their new school, which the traffic study said that elementary so much per student should be allocated to all these future improvements. And when city annexed that property and when they got their development permit for that property, they never collected any of that fee. But when the developer wanted to annex, they made them do a development agreement and they have to pay all these fees that they didn't make CPS do. And this study, traffic study, was done after the high school came in, but the high school came in and they had to build that new road, but they didn't have to pay any additional for.
Is it because one political subdivision can't make another one pay?
They just chose not to, I think. Their developer, they had to put the traffic signal in, they had to pay for some widening, and they had to do some things.
That was the high school did that, yeah.
And there's no system in place for, like, developer number one comes in and he's the first guy, and he wants to develop this, so the city has a huge negotiated fee because you've got to do, a huge new intersection or this, that, or the other, and everybody and their brother knows that there's going to be more development, but this first developer and the city bore the lion's share of the expense of all of that, and then there's no way to recoup from all the people that are piggybacking for free off of that.
One of the questions we put down was number 15, how should the city handle compounding developments?
But there's no way to just make a note that the next developer has to
Developer is the first developer, too.
Usually the first guy gets the brunt of it. Yeah.
Don't be the first.
Well, in the city, though, but if it wasn't done with the first development, and you spend a chunk of change, but then you spend you spend all that money on the front end, and it's done, it's gone. But then all these other developers come along and they kind of get a free ride. They don't ever have to pay the city back for any of the costs.
Well, we don't really contribute,
you know what I mean,
to any development.
From an infrastructure cost,
I think
though.
She said
the
first developer pays the most and the other ones get
the first developer
in
the city.
But
then you don't have a way for...
We don't contribute to, other than maybe installing electric lines. You get paid back in your rate, but you don't...
Yeah, well, new sewer trunks or anything like that. You're not, are you making like just like sewer, new sewer trunks or anything like that?
They used to have a policy they'd sewer the 100-acre point, but then that was to control the sewer so that they didn't have, you know, 48-inch sewers going up a line. You know, so they would have a policy if a certain watershed met a development need, they would take a trunk to the 100-acre point, which was where it drained, 100 acres drained to that point, so they control the main trunk, and then the developer would pick up and then go from there. And that was really in the city's best interest to have that policy from a maintenance standpoint long term. But most of the infrastructure now that developers, they take it to their, they bring it to their site if it's not there.
Yeah, it's up to electric. Most of the time developers take it.
Mm-hmm.
It's cost share on electric.
Right. It depends on what you want to have happen with development, whether it's whether you want to de-incentivize or incentivize new development. So if you think that I'm trying not to use any value-laden terms here, but if you think that expanding the geographic boundaries of a community is a good idea, then you want to find a way to distribute costs across developers over time. But if you're concerned about constantly expanding, the boundaries, then maybe having the cost of initiating projects on the fringe be something that developers really think through to make sure it's worth their investment, then maybe you don't want to try and figure out how to distribute, or you always want to try and figure stuff out, but maybe you want to make a policy decision not to incentivize growth on the fringe.
Mm-hmm. That was more something when the city was spending significant sums and then not, and then not, and then you have other people piggybacking for free and they never get. But if that's not the case, I'll let that one go.
Well, I must say, I mean, that does, the night that we talked about, April 26th, and adding an external traffic consultant and such, I did understand that the city was spending city resources to serve new developments. But now I'm understanding you differently.
The city spent considerable money extending the Hinkson Creek relief sewer, the Henderson Branch relief sewer.
Mm-hmm. CIP projects. Yeah, I mean, they spend money on CIP projects.
The traffic study was more to make sure that there's consistency across a term for doing those traffic studies versus having everybody doing different things, and have, because traffic studies aren't a perfect science, they're more of an art, so you can get different opinions, and so having consistency with one for a period of time so that everyone's working with the same wouldn't prohibit a developer to do a third or another one to show differences, but at least you have consistency. That was
the issue is that the
So that was a publicly paid for traffic study to look at, to look globally in an area where they anticipated development to make sure everybody was using the same data? No?
No, the traffic study wasn't by the city. The traffic study was
the county.
Well, the discussions we had before about having a specific traffic engineer do all of the studies was for consistency, but that was to help maybe make the negotiations between city and developer more consistent. because the developers are the ones that are burdened with that upfront cost, not necessarily the city, but what the city has, and what I think what John Glasscock was trying to say is there's the development itself, and then there's all of the roadways that lead to development and those sorts of things as well, that's the part that the city still bears some burden on.
Right,
because
that ground growth,
right,
things like that.
So the big trucks that come through continually to deliver concrete and those sorts of things have a lot different wear and tear on a particular road that comes into a development. But the traffic studies that we talked about that day to having a consistent engineer had to do with developers feeling like there was a level playing field as opposed to having a different type of negotiation each time they approached the city. Is that generally, the developers don't, some of them, I don't want to say globally, but some of them don't feel like every time they come to the table with a different development, they are faced with a little bit different set of criteria or a different traffic. One traffic study says they need to improve, and another one says that they don't need to improve, and so then it's...
Well, surely the developers are hiring those traffic studies, right?
They are.
So you would just say...
They do, but the city has final say over whether they...
I'll just put it out there. The school hired a traffic engineer for the school out there at Rock K. 600 new students. Their traffic engineer said that school would not have any impact to the existing roadways. So we refuted that. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
So then did you have to have your own traffic studies?
Our engineer, our staff, said,
traffic,
we don't agree with that. So then we ended up negotiating. They paid for half of the roundabout, and they donated all the right away, and they put in the sidewalks, and they did all the things that needed to be done to get that school to work with the traffic they're going to generate. But their initial traffic study said that school would not have any impact to the existing roadways.
That's silly.
Well, so that way they only had to pay for half the roundabout, as opposed to if the traffic study said they had to build a new roundabout.
You were
making
an
improvement anyway.
You got to look at the major assumption of that study, though. See, the major assumption said that everybody would walk to school.
But, I mean, that's right. I'm just giving an example why a developer's engineer is not always something we agree with. Okay. So, when I said we'd have a consistent engineer that we would have a very high level of comfort with, and the
developers
both would have a high level of comfort with. And it would save a lot of this back and forth and, and give and tug, and then everybody would understand the same assumptions. And so that, I mean, that was just one example I threw out that.
But the developer should have the right for a second party review.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And bring it to the table to say we've got a different opinion, then get the dialogue. But that consistent consultant, they could dialogue and come
to the resolution. You know, when I made the comment, the assumption, you know, you make engineering assumptions. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's 9, and question 11 is even, I feel like, a more intense question.
The rest of these are definitely not easy.
On 11 there, real quick, I've been thinking about that, and it seems to me that there's, that maybe the way that ought to be handled is by a separate work group, and that it include the development community and... Mm-hmm. And so on, because that's the piece that's missing. The other thing is that there is a common thread through all these other infrastructure commissions and committees is is this very question, and it's never been answered, and it has to do with the exation process to assess it, you know, that like with Carl's Galaxy, to me the vote was so close that it leaves me with the impression that it has merit. It just, it was...
Which vote?
For the proposition. Proposition that the development fee increase. Yeah, development fee increase at...
14 or...
Yeah.
Tier, okay.
And that it's, the vote was close, but the way that it was presented and processed and so on was void of the development community, and so...
Yeah, it seems like you're right. We probably can't solve this issue, but we could recommend that a more specialized task force address this specific issue.
Yeah,
work group that would include the development community. And
that sounds like a good recommendation.
Pass the buck.
Yeah, that kicks the can down the road.
It's definitely complex.
Yeah, it is. It's,
okay.
I think we have some general principles that we've gathered from the development community and from Ian, predictability. I think everybody's in favor of that. More developer, predictable funding. I think everybody's in favor of that. Ending negotiations and the give take. I think everybody's in favor of that. Now coming up with the mechanism is the hard part to get that.
I think the development community indicated willingness to come to the table by coming to our meeting last month.
Mm-hmm. excuse me. So I think that then for our next meeting on 6/15, that's not our sewer tour, is it?
Yes.
I thought
it was.
Is it?
Okay.
Yep.
Yes.
Could we talk about having a meeting next week? June 8th or 9th?
I'm going to be out.
About June 22nd and 23rd?
What are we doing?
So our next one is
June 15th. And we'd set some after that.
At 6 o'clock at the sewer plant.
Tour followed by presentation.
Right.
Which day is
I'm trying to see
Wednesday the 15th of June.
I hate to be a rude, but I think I've done a wastewater treatment plant. We're just talking street clothes. There's no, dress code or, I guess I would be wearing...
You don't have to wear...
Tie and polish shirt.
You don't have to wear waders.
Yeah, you won't need your boots.
Yeah.
I don't need a...
Very good
and mask.
I think I put my Girl Scouts out there. I might be thinking of that.
But let's...
You know the answer to that, right?
No, you don't want anything special.
It's not like going to a prison or anything.
No.
No tight clothing.
I think we'll find the environment out there more pleasant than...
Your shots are up to date.
Don't drink the water.
I know when you think about it, you don't contract the best.
Okay. So we've got a meeting planned on the 15th and the 29th. And Bill's question is, do we want to meet in that interim week?
22nd, 23rd.
To finish the street list.
Number one, maybe we have to the street. One or
recommendation, trying to consolidate this. Or maybe John's to would we need to meet on that again or just try to come up with a recommendation that consolidates all that developer fee issue into a more succinct recommendation versus multiple separate ones?
I could try to come up with some wording and email it.
But maybe we haven't. I don't know. I know that Dave Searle's going to give us a tour. He's going to give us a presentation, so we'll have time to maybe talk about that at the next meeting. Maybe not.
Right.
We could push the tour back to the 22nd.
Well, the tour is scheduled. I don't really feel... I don't want to...
We've already bumped it once.
Yeah, I don't want to reschedule that particularly. But
we're going to jump the sewer and back to street?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very specific set of...
We're really down to that one,
one
category
set,
of recommendation,
right.
So...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you asked Tom Robin to come on the 29th yet?
Yes. I don't know if he is going to be able to, though, or not. I'm good with the 22nd, I think.
Our 23rd isn't matter to me.
What day of the week are
we already meeting
Wednesday or Thursday. Thursday. Okay.
I can do the 22nd without the 23rd.
What day?
The 22nd. What did you say, John? 22nd works for you?
It does.
So that's a Wednesday?
I could do either one.
Okay. And this is 1C. Let's see if we can get this room. Okay, so we've got an agenda for the 15th and for the 22nd. And then at the beginning of tonight, we talked about something where I made a note to myself to ask about issues we should cover, but then it was trails, right? And then we kind of solved that on our own. Or is that still something I should get some guidance on?
My understanding was that you left it with, you're going to ask
city
administration.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's right about the trails. So I probably will also try and get some feedback around this development fee issue too, and the depth, it would be useful for us to go into that.
I'm putting you in the record, you're going to do the consolidated recommendation.
I am going to. I got it on my checklist.
Oh, and you're going to send me the Word doc.
Yes.
Probably not tomorrow, then.
Okay.
Maybe.
All right. New business that we haven't discussed. Comments of task force members, staff?
Well, just to confirm, the next meeting, the 15th, starts at 6 with the tour, and the meeting's at 7. Right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yep.
So the action items I've got for follow-up is the document that you guys are going to edit and send off. I need to talk to Carol to make sure that we go through the process of how to get all that.
The letter.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then we need to confirm the meeting room for the 22nd.
Yes. Yes, 22nd, June 22nd.
Okay. Yeah, because Carol's got to wait through the city calendar to make sure that we can find somewhere for it.
Okay, very good. All right.
Great.
Thank you. Adjourned.
Adjourned.